Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
The lowest person, whomever that might be, who knows Jesus Christ, receives His grace, His forgiveness, His love, the exchange life, is greater than John the Baptist. Whew. That helps us understand a little bit about the love, the grace, the patience, the overwhelming care that He has for all of us is available to us.
The truth is, you are great in God's eyes because of Christ. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, The Greatest Man, about how you're granted a greatness today that's higher than one of the most revered heroes of the Bible. Stay tuned. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's five-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Greatest Man, Part 2.
His very appearance was a sermon. You know, he would walk out. He was real. He didn't care about money or fame or power. Everybody knew that. He didn't care about everything most people cared about. He cared only about being God's man. See the discipline that he had in his life? Discipline. Discipline. And then he was humble. We see that all the way through. How can you be so strong and prophetic and yet be humble? But he really was. When they went to him and said, "Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm just a voice. I'm a voice crying with all the other voices and racking the world." He said, "I'm preparing the way for the Lord." This was the prophecy of Isaiah, coming before the coming of Jesus Christ. And John says, "I have come to make the crooked road straight. I've come to take the mountain and flatten it out. I've come to take the valley and to fill it up. I am preparing a runway for the coming of the Son of God." He was going ahead. He was a voice of preparation. Discipline. Discipline. Also, what made him great was timing. You see, most of you were not there for the Battle of the Bulge. You may have been a hero and won the Congressional Medal of Honor, but you weren't there. The timing wasn't right. So there's a sense of timing for this greatness. I want you to see the time in which he lived. It's really something. Take your Bibles and just flip over to Luke chapter 3. It dates John the Baptist. It says, "Now in the 50th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar." We know that was about AD 29, 28. When Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonius, and Licinius was the tetrarch of Abilene, not Texas. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. That puts the date in which he lived. It tells who was running Rome, who was running Israel, who was running Judea, who the religious leaders were. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a more corrupt, rotten, evil, vicious group of people on this earth. Philip and Herod and Pilate and Annas and Caiaphas, they were just phony baloney exploiters of people in the name of religion. Never heard of that happening, have you? Somebody was sick with cancer, and one of the faith healers on television, she felt she needed to go and let him pray over her. And so he said, yeah, she can come, and he put a price on it. She flew to Atlanta, paid a large amount of money so he would lay hands on her. You don't want to hear the rest of the story. Tragedy, exploitation. This was Annas and Caiaphas. Everything, everywhere you looked, religious area, political area, government area, business area, education area, there's corruption, corruption, corruption. Everywhere you look, that's a day in which John the Baptist lived. Now, we don't mind talking about all those bad people way back there, but we can take some modern people and just put their names right where they are. You could take a Hollywood director who for many years exploited women, dozens and dozens of them, put his name, he could substitute for one of those godless people. You could take a guy who lived in New York, was a billionaire and a pedophile, just took his life, put his name in there, he fits in, same crowd, folks, same crowd. You could put a president of the United States in there. You could put a member of the royal family in there. You see, as long as we're talking about things way back there, and we're all right with it. We bring it where we live. Have you ever checked out to wonder why generals who retire from the military, who worked in the Pentagon, who were part of the procurement of different kinds of military weapons and planes, et cetera, when they are tired, that they're hired by Boeing or General Motors? I wonder why that happens like that when they've been buying for the government billions of dollars from them for many years, and when they retire, they get a job there. I wonder, they're just so capable, do you think? I wonder why the Food and Drug Administration, that three-fourths of their salaries are paid for by the drug companies. Food and Drug Administration, some of 3,000 employees, do no R&D. The drug companies do research, they bring it to them, and they approve it, and then they can sell it. Oh, what they approve, only what they approve. Huh. Strange, isn't it? That most employees of the Food and Drug Administration, those professional doctors and scientists, used to work for the drug companies, and a lot who'd worked for the drug companies were worked for the Food and Drug Administration. I wonder how that works, really. Just skillful people involved. Ladies and gentlemen, how we need prophets who speak the truth right where you and I live. If you missed what I was saying there in that little aside, you've had your head in the sand far too long. Come out and get in the light. That's what John the Baptist did. They'd had darkness for 400 years, and now all of a sudden, he walks out and brings the light of God. Boy, you see that he was a great man. You see his preparation for it. And you see his greatness is seen by his message. Not only the time in which he lived, his background, his humility, look at the message that he brought. A powerful, powerful message. Take and just turn, if you would, right over to the book of Luke, still in the third chapter. Here's his message. Verse 3, and it came into all the district around Jordan, preaching a baptism and repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Let me tell you something. This is unique. Jews were not baptized. If you are a Gentile and you became a Jew, you'd be baptized as a proselyte, but Jews were not baptized. The Essenes were Jews. It was a sect, but their baptism was called tarbolium. It was in blood for cleansing. And when John the Baptist says, repent, turn away from your sin. By the way, you know what repentance is? One body asked a little girl, what's repentance? He says, another little girl said, it's being sorry for your sin. Another little girl said, oh no, it's being sorry for your sin enough to quit. So that's repentance. So John says, repent, be forgiven, and be baptized. The Jews said, oh, no, we don't have to be baptized. We're inheritance. We come from Abraham, Father Abraham. Man, we've got all that covered. It's like people today who are living a godless life and said, oh, I joined the church when I was 12 years old and I was baptized. I'm all right. John the Baptist says, repent, be baptized. And they came by the thousands out in the boondocks to hear him. I mean, Pharisees, Sadducees, politicians, religious people, people in government, all walks of life came out to hear him. I'm telling you, he spoke the truth. And we see his message. And he goes on and said, he's a voice in the wilderness. And then he says, so he begins saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, Luke 3, chapter 7, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. In other words, you have repented and turned away from sin. Let's see the result of your new life. You've turned away? John said, let that show me. Put up, shut up. And they say, we have Abraham, our father, for I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up, all kinds of children of Abraham. He said, indeed, the axe is already laid to the tree. Judgment is coming. And then verse 10, the crowds were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? They wanted to change. They saw they were phony. They saw they were liars. They saw they were hypocrites. They saw their worship was not real. They said, what shall we do? We repent, we baptize. And then he tells them exactly what to do. By the way, when you pray, don't pray, Lord, forgive me of my many sins. Be specific. Okay? Be specific. I used to pray like that. Lord, cover me for, I got so many sins. Just cover all. No. He wants you to be very specific, and we see how specific here. These people said, oh, Lord, we want to change. What shall we do? And he just goes right down. The crowds were questioning. Then what shall we do? Verse 10, Luke 3. And he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics, that's your undershirt, is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. What's he saying? Be generous. If you're known as a tightwad, close-fisted, that's not the way we are as Christians. We're to be open-handed. We're to be easy. Be generous. You've repented? Be generous. And there's some tax collectors there, members of the IRS. I see Lois Lerner's name here. Tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? Said to them, collect no more than what you've been ordered to do. See, in that day, you'd collect taxes, and all you got over, you had to pay to the government, you could keep for yourself. So the tax collectors were amazingly rich. And then he went on to say, some soldiers were there saying, well, what do we do? What shall we do? We're guilty. And he said, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Or is he saying, show me the fruit, the result of the new life that you want, the change that God has brought in your life? And John answered and said to them, as for me, I baptize you with water. I just dunk you. But he says, one is coming who is mightier than I. I'm not fit to untie the thong of his sandals, see his humility. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What does that mean? It means John was external baptism, but Jesus would come, and when they receive him, and he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit inside of their life, and inside their life there will be like a fire that will burn up all the ugliness and junk and immorality and mess that's in the middle of them. That's the difference. And then we've got this tremendous thing. So many others, he preached the gospel to people. Hold on, don't miss this. John the Baptist is the only Old Testament prophet who preached judgment, fire and brimstone, and the law. He also was a New Testament preacher of forgiveness, a new life, and grace. The only one. Prophet the old, yet bridging the gap, being the proclaimer of the grace of God in the new. You see, he puts the old and new together. Darkness, he brings light. Under the new contract, the new relationship that came, that all the world had been preparing for until this strategic moment in history, it is the good news. And look back and see what the good news really, really, really was. It's a magnificent thing. Go back to the baptism. John baptized Jesus, verse 13, Matthew 4, Matthew 3. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need, Jesus, to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Key verse, 15th verse. Jesus answered and said to John, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us, John the Baptist and Jesus, to fulfill all righteousness. What is that saying? It's saying something tremendously important. Here you have John the Baptist, the bridge between the law and the gospel. Here we have Jesus being baptized. Why? He had no sin. He was baptizing so he would fulfill, he would identify with you and with me in our sin as a precursor for the gospel which was proclaimed by John as he saw Jesus later on and said, behold, the Lamb of God. What does that mean? Behold, the Lamb that satisfies God, takes care of all the sacrifices that have been offered, and the Lamb of God is on the cross. Jesus in baptism identified with us. Jesus on the cross took all of our iniquity. I love that word. It sounds bad. It sounds ugly. It sounds like sin. Took all of it out of you and me and put it on himself, then identified with us. He became sin for us. And that's the miracle and the grace of Calvary, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And John baptized Jesus, and when he came up out of the water, the voice from heaven said, this is my boy, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And there was Jesus, God in flesh, and there was a dove who came like the Holy Spirit. See, it's one thing to be baptized by water. It's another thing to have your insides drenched by the Holy Spirit. Like fire that burns away all of that's within you and within me. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Now, did you read it? Nobody is greater than John, said Jesus. Anybody here think you're greater than John the Baptist? Would you lift your hand? I'm lifting my hand. well, what kind of megalomaniac do we have up there in the pulpit? You see, I didn't read the rest of that verse. The rest of that verse says, no one who's ever lived is greater than John the Baptist, but it says in that verse 11 I read in the beginning, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Somebody who gets into heaven through Jesus Christ, just barely, I mean, saved by far, they just barely are a Christian. They are greater than John the Baptist. I was rushing to go somewhere this summer, and I was in Dallas, and I had to catch one of those buses, and I was late, and boy, I had to catch it, or I'd miss the flight up there, and the door was closing, and I put my hand in the door, and I called the door, and I got in. They took me up, and they said, 3.5 minutes, we'd have closed the gate if you hadn't gotten here. I got there by the skin of my teeth, by the hair of my chin. Did you see what the scripture says? The lowest person, whomever that might be, who knows Jesus Christ, receives his grace, his forgiveness, his love, the exchange life, is greater than John the Baptist. Whew. That helps us understand a little bit about the love, the grace, the patience, the overwhelming care that he has for all of us. Available to us. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Everybody here who knows Jesus, you're greater.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, everyone aspires to greatness. Nobody says, I just want to live a mediocre life. How does the Bible define true greatness?
True greatness, first of all, begins with knowing Jesus Christ. And then success or greatness is discovering his call, his purpose for your life. Notice, in his will, we find God's utilization of us. That same question was asked in a different form by the mother of two of the apostles of Jesus. And they tried to position themselves, the mother did, for the two sons. And Jesus said, he that would be great among you, let him become a servant of all. So that is the secret of greatness. Wherever your role or position in this world doesn't make a bit of difference to God. It is we take where we are and maximize it for his kingdom. That is the secret of not worldly greatness, that passes, but greatness in the sight of God. It's in range of every single human being alive.
All right, thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and he always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares why God's way really is the best way for you to live.